All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 a.m., and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. We are here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up in a little bit, after the 3:30 news, we are going to do Vic's Picks, where we that'll be the first of our regular Friday features. Vic has been on a musical journey for the past few months, making his way through the top 100 greatest albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And he's going to talk about a couple of albums that he's listened to recently and what how he feels about it as he's learning more and more about music. So we'll do that. Then after 4 o'clock, the other regular features will begin. We got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday will be coming up, and the folks from Twin Garden Farms will be here to bring us our green mesh bags of the Mirai sweet corn, which is the best corn in the world. So the corn season has officially begun, and we'll have them come in for that. But right now, we are joined by our old friend Michael Osaki, who is a baseball card sports memorabilia expert and appraiser. His website is baseballintheattic.com, baseballintheattic.com. And he is here. I had to talk about a bunch of things. He was at a sports collectors convention last weekend, which took place right across the street from the Flashback Horror convention that I was at. Tomorrow is Topps National Baseball Card Day. And also, he can help you out. If you've got some sports memorabilia laying around the house and you're trying to figure out if it's worth anything, Michael's an appraiser, an expert, and so he can help you out. So call us up right now. The phone lines and the text lines are open with any and all of your questions about sports memorabilia. Hopefully we can help you out. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and welcome back to the show, Michael. How are you?
Thanks, Nick. I'm doing great. How have you been?
I'm all right. I've been good. So we were right across the street from each other last weekend.
I'm surprised I did not bump into you. There's like 30,000 people there.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised I didn't bump. I'm not surprised because I was in the hotel doing things. I didn't leave the hotel for 3 days. I was inside the Crown Plaza Hotel for 3 days.
Did you see the sun?
No. I mean, through windows. Okay. But I had nothing but recirculated air conditioning air for 3 days. And when I stepped outside to go home on Sunday evening, I was like, oh, humidity. I haven't felt that in a while. So, but no, I have a lot of duties at this thing because I'm one of the hosts at the convention. Yeah. So I host panels and Q&As and I introduce movies and I spend a lot of money on in the vendor room and all that cool stuff. But it's a lot of fun. We had a great turnout this year. We had a lot of really great horror celebrities and actors, actresses and stuff like that. So it was very, very cool. But you were across the street. Tell me about the National Sports Collectors Convention.
That convention is all the it's basically every year in August, late July, early August. It changes venues year by year. And over the course of, I think, 5 days, there's 30,000 to 40,000 people. I've been attending the national convention for the past 6 years or so. And
it was at the Donald Stevens Convention
yes.
Center right in Rosemont right there.
Exactly. And I've never seen so much traffic. Just people running around. There was so much activity, so much excitement, a lot of high-end sales. It was quite the spectacular. I was talking to a bunch of dealers. They had great weekends. Next year, it's in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was funny because because a lot of the people who attended the sports the sports collectors convention stayed at our hotel. And had no idea what the hell was going on. Like, they came in, they had with their boxes of memorabilia, and they had their cards, and they were just, like, looking around at people who were dressed up like Freddy and Jason and all these people with bloody limbs hanging off of them and costumes. And I think they'd had no idea what was happening because the entire hotel, the Crown Plaza Hotel, was invaded by horror nerds. So the sports guys, and there weren't that many of them, but a few of the sports guys did stay at our hotel. But yeah, they were pretty much bewildered by what was. I can't tell you the number of times I shared elevators with guys going, "What in God's name is happening?" but it was pretty fun. So, how many people are a part of this convention?
Well, there's 650 different dealers, and there's a Topps baseball card company is there, a couple of the other card manufacturers. But again, I think 35,000 to 40,000 people walked through the turnstiles over 5 days. Mm-hmm. It was Wednesday through Sunday. And it really is quite the extravaganza. There's just so much eye candy as it relates to baseball cards, sports memorabilia, autographs, sports collectibles. You name it, it's there. There are probably a few hundred Babe Ruth autographs there. Just a ton of rare pieces, unopened baseball cards from the 1950s.
Wow.
I mean, you could spend 2 or 3 days and not see everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what were you? What was your capacity there? What were you doing? What were some of the things that you personally did?
So I had a booth there, and since I'm a certified appraiser, people would stop by my booth, and we talk about potentially getting their items or their collection appraised. A lot of the people I talked to flew in from out of town. People were in from New Jersey, Dallas, Texas, Florida, yeah. California, Nevada. Mm-hmm. So it was good to see them in person. Some of these people I've met or I've talked to online, like on Facebook or Twitter. We'll tweet at each other or yeah. we'll comment. But there's something to be said to actually see someone face-to-face and shake their hand and actually kind of understand who they are and have a drink with them.
Oh, okay. All right. So tell everybody about baseballintheattic.com.
Sure. Baseballintheattic.com started back in 2007. And the website is a couple different things. I have a blog on there that I educate people. I do a lot of writing. But also people can fill out a contact form if they have something in their home or their attic and they're just not sure what it is. Sometimes these people purchase these things as a kid and they still have them. Sometimes these items were passed down to them from a prior generation. But whatever it is, it could be anything sports related, all sports, baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, horse racing, you name it. People can contact me and I'll help them.
Okay, so that's at baseballintheattic.com, and you visit us every once in a while. So Topps National Baseball Card Day is tomorrow. How are you going to celebrate that?
Yeah, it's Saturday. It's always on a Saturday in August. And National Baseball Card Day is really good because it brings awareness to the hobby. And there are a lot of sales and promotions at your local card shop. Additionally, this year, a lot of Targets and Walmarts are giving away free baseball card packs. I'm not exactly sure which locations, but you can probably go online somewhere and find out who's giving away free baseball card packs. But this hobby is strong, as I witnessed last weekend in Rosemont. It's growing. It was great to see a lot of youngsters walking around the convention, and National Baseball Card Day, again, is a great way to bring awareness to our hobby.
Oh, I was looking at this, at the National Baseball Card Day stadium giveaway. Fans can find free packs of various MLB ballparks in July and August. But the Cubs did it just this past weekend on Saturday. They had the giveaway, and then the Sox did it on the 28th of July. And other MLB ballparks are handing out the Topps National Baseball Card Day sets for cards for free.
That's fantastic. And speaking of the White Sox, did you hear today that the White Sox are going to play the Yankees next year at the Field of Dreams?
At the Field of Dreams, yeah. Yeah. In fact, at tonight's game, after today's game at Guaranteed Rate, they're showing Field of Dreams. So if you go to the game, then you get to hang out afterwards and watch Field of Dreams at Guaranteed Rate. But yeah, that's pretty cool. They're playing in Iowa. That should be fun. That should be a fun game to watch. So, all right, we've got some people who are already calling in.
Oh, great.
And we got some texts coming in. Michael Osaki is with us. He is a sports memorabilia expert. He's also an appraiser. Baseballintheattic.com is his website. We're celebrating Topps National Baseball Card Day tomorrow. And if you've got any sports memorabilia and you're wondering whether it's worth anything, 312-981-7200. Let's go to the phones. And here's Nick on WGN. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
So I inherited a Sandy Keita jersey, and it looks older, and it looks professionally framed in plexiglass. And I was just curious if it was worth anything and how I'd go about finding out. I mean, is he a hot signature? Or I don't want to rip apart the frame and screw up the jersey, you know what I mean? Okay. So what should I do with it?
A Stan Mikita signed jersey, if it is signed.
Is it signed, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it's signed, and the person that I got it from said he won it from an auction, so, and he's a pretty legit guy. So I was just curious.
All right, so a signed Stan Mikita, vintage Stan Mikita jersey. What are we looking at here?
A couple $100. However, if it's game used, if he actually wore that jersey, we're talking about a few $1,000.
Yeah, so you'd have to find out whether it was actual, you know, whether it was actually used in a game. That would be worth more.
So the best thing to do is take some pictures because I can look at some of the tags on it, the collar tag, other tags, and determine if that jersey was actually game used or not.
Yeah, so you can take some pictures and contact him through baseballintheattic.com.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
All right. Did the Stan Mikita stuff go up since he passed?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Most people think when somebody passes away, the things are going to skyrocket or go crazy.
Yeah,
Sometimes it does, but most of the time, not really. And with the case with Bob Feller, who passed away December of 2010, the value of everything actually went down because he signed millions and millions of autographs over the course of his long career.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a Hall of Famer, but when he died, people flooded the market to try and sell stuff, and there was not enough demand to catch that supply, and so everything kind of plummeted.
Yeah, it's interesting how that stuff happens, man. Woot in Skokie, all right, said, is there a large market for non-current golf memorabilia? I had a large collection of Chick Evans, one of the greatest amateurs to play, and he was a Rogers Park resident. So golf memorabilia, is that...
Yes, and he said non-current, so I guess that would be vintage.
Chick Evans.
Chick Evans, yeah, there's definitely some value there. And some of the other guys, people could be listening right now, they have Byron Nelson or Jack Nicklaus items signed or unsigned or some golf clubs. But generally speaking, golf doesn't have a ton of value. Baseball is usually king, and golf comes in at the bottom. But depending upon what it is, there is some value.
Okay. All right. Michael, hang on, okay?
Sure.
Michael Osaki is with us. He is a memorabilia expert at sports. Baseballintheattic.com is his website. And we're celebrating tomorrow is Topps National Baseball Card Day. And if you have some sports memorabilia laying around the house and you're curious as to what it's about and how much it might be worth, we would love to hear from you. The phone lines and text lines are open at 312-981-7200. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And how's everybody doing this morning? We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It is a Friday morning. All of our regular features will begin after the 3:30 news with Vic's Picks. We'll do Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, Fly Jams Friday. And it is Mirai Corn Day today. The folks from Twin Garden Farms will be here with the first batch of the fantastic Mirai sweet corn, which is just delicious. Right now, Michael Osaki is in studio with me, and he can answer your sports memorabilia questions. He is an appraiser. His website is baseballintheattic.com, and we're having him on because of Topps National Baseball Card Day, and also to help you out. If you've got some sports memorabilia and you're wondering what it's worth, Mike can help you out. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, Michael.
Hey, Nick.
All right. 630 area code says, I was wondering how much a Mark McGwire Team USA rookie card would be worth.
Yes, that would definitely be his rookie 1985. It varies on condition as far as the value goes, anywhere from $20 all the way up to $500 or $600 in mint condition.
Oh, all right. Mark the Breadman says, I have a baseball signed by the 1959 White Sox.
The Go-Go White Sox. So.
Yeah.
It would be important to have Nellie Fox on there. If Nellie Fox is on there, you're talking $300 or $400.
Wow. Okay. All right. 1959 White Sox. All right. Nick, I have a quick question for Michael. I am a cousin of Tony and Gammy Granato. And back in the early 90s, he gave me his game worn in the 1988 Olympic with an Olympic white hockey sweater, which I have framed on my wall in my living room. I don't intend to sell, but for appraisal value and insurance reasons, any idea what that might be worth?
Sometimes I have to punt. So right now I just don't know off the top of my head. But if the caller follows up with me maybe in a day or two, I'll have some time to digest and think about it.
Yeah, Tony and Cammy Granato. So the 1988 hockey sweater from the Olympics. So, all right. Well, 708 area code, that's your question. If you want to contact Michael, that would be the best thing to do. Your email is info@baseballintheattic.com.
Yeah, and people can call me 312-379-9090 after the show.
Okay, 312-379-9090 if you don't get through. But we have some phone lines open. And if you want to text your questions, got some sports memorabilia that you're wondering about, we'll help you out at 312-981-7200. Here is Joe on WGN. Hi, Joe.
Oh, yeah, I have a Ted Williams autographed baseball bat. It's an upper deck model, and so it's official. I know that.
Okay, that bat would be $700 to $800.
Wow,
that sounds good.
That's Ted Williams. Ted Williams, man. You can't argue with Ted Williams. All right, Joe, thanks. Autographed bat from Ted Williams. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Over the years, of course, he's been dead for a long time. His son ran a his son is also dead, actually, ran a company in Hernando, Florida. And basically, the company was just giving, having Ted sit down, and the son would give Ted as many items as possible for him to sign. Bats, balls, jerseys. And that's how his son made a six-figure living every year.
Mm. Wow. All right. Before we get back to helping some people out, everybody hang on, 312-981-7200. So we've been talking about the trading card fraud stories that have been happening, and the FBI now has issued subpoenas as part of this investigation widening. What do you know about this? What's the latest? And how widespread is the sports card fraud?
So the short answer is right now we don't know how widespread it is. The FBI is doing an investigation to determine how widespread it is. My estimation is it's very small. It's kind of like in most businesses or jobs, you have a bad apple, a scam artist or a shady character who tries to do bad things. And in this particular industry, it's so large that there's maybe a small select handful of people that have been trimming baseball cards. And basically, the reason why people will trim cards is to make it look like it has four sharp corners. If a card has four sharp corners, the value goes way, way, way up. Okay, and what's happening is this guy supposedly was buying cards at an auction, graded cards by a third party. He would break open the case, and he would, let's say there was a crease on there, he would flatten out the crease, maybe he would trim the card a little bit, resubmit it to the same third-party authenticator in hopes of getting a higher grade, and then he would take that card again back from the grader and give it back to that same auction house he bought it from 6 months earlier and make a lot of money. So again, the FBI, like you said, is investigating. There were several subpoenas handed out at the national show last week. I did see them walking around, and we'll find out in the future, I guess.
Well, I mean, well, there's always going to be somebody trying to take. We just had Herb Weissbaum on talking about scammers and fraud and stuff like that. It's everybody is trying to make a buck illegally, and so it's not surprising that it happens in the sports trading card world.
Yeah, and especially in the last 5, 6, 7 years, some of the prices have really taken off. And so there's definitely been a lot of eyeballs looking at this market and saying, oh, my God, wow, there's a lot of money to be made here. And
yeah.
So, yeah, there's a couple of bad apples. They will be dealt with appropriately, and we'll kind of move on.
Okay. All right. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hey, it's not a simple question, but Michael understands it. I got a buddy that's putting together a set of 75 Topps minis, everything from very fine to mint, but we both keep getting conflicting results of the value. Can you give me your ballpark or your source?
Okay, so in 75, there were two sets produced, the 75 Topps regular size and what the caller...
No, he's doing the minis.
Exactly, and these are the minis. Now, this set is great because there's a couple key rookie cards, Robin Yount, George Brett, Jim Rice. So those are definitely the key cards in the set. Now, what's the caller's question again?
Well, how much they might be worth.
We have conflicting dollar amounts we keep finding online. I was just wanting to see what your ballpark figure from your sources.
Well, the problem with looking at prices online, especially on eBay, is you have to look at sold listings, sold items. If you just look at something as it is, people are asking the moon. So you really have to click on the sold item button to get a true feel and understanding for what the values are. Now, if you're collecting that entire set, that's 75 Topps Mini in near mint condition, it's going to be several thousands of dollars, but most of the value is going to be in those key rookie cards.
So, yeah, because there's some amazing rookie years that year, God.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Man, I mean, I heard those names are unbelievable.
Unbelievable names.
Yeah, God, yeah. Jim Rice. I love Jim Rice. Love him. All right, Steve, it's going to be worth a good amount of money, so thanks for the call. All right, take care. There you go. We got a break here for the news. We got some phone lines open if you want to jump in. Michael Osaki is with us. BaseballInTheAttic.com is the website. He's a sports memorabilia expert. We got some more sports stories to talk about and answering your questions about some of the sports memorabilia you might have and help you out. Talk or text at 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right now. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiCiglio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on 720 WGN, and we're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. All the regular Friday features will begin at 3:30 with Vic's Picks. Then we've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. Fly Jams Friday will start a little bit later this morning because we're going to get a visit from the Twin Garden Farms folks, and they will bring in the first batch of the Mirai Sweet Corn. It's Mirai Sweet Corn time, and it's the best corn you'll ever taste in your life. So we'll get that in here as well. But right now we're talking with Michael Osaki. Michael Osaki with BaseballInTheAttic.com. He is a vintage baseball card sports memorabilia expert and appraiser. So if you've got anything, you're wondering if it's worth anything, you got some sports memorabilia laying around the house, well, check it out and give us a call or a text. And Michael can help you to tell you what it's worth. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Michael, welcome back.
I think I want to stick around till 5 for the Mirai Sweet Corn.
Yeah, it's the best, man. It's the best corn. It's the best corn of all time. Tom's never had it, and he's going to taste it for the first time this morning.
Look how excited Tom is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, they always come to our show. We're the first show that gets the Mirai Sweet Corn. Every year they come in and they bring in the sweet corn and we talk about it on the air, and then everybody else at the station gets their sweet corn, but we get it first. That's the same with Punchki Day. When they bring in the Punchkis from Continental Bakery, we're the first show that gets the Punchkis. So that's the thing I was telling Tom. You know, he's still relatively new to working overnight. So Tom, how long you been? It's March, right? When you started working for
March 25th.
You remember the first day?
Well, yeah, because I literally had to quit all my other jobs.
Yeah, because this is a full-time gig.
Yeah. So, they let me know a week ahead of time. They're like, all right, so you start Monday.
That was the best decision you ever made.
Well, yeah.
I'll never regret it, ever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's great. But he's been, you know, so he's still getting used to. You never quite get used to working overnights. It takes a few years, actually, before you get used to it. I was telling him some of the things, the advantages of working this shift is Punchki Day, when we get the Punchkis before everybody else. Mirai Corn Day, that's today, Sweet Corn Day. And, of course, our weekend begins at 5 a.m. Friday.
Oh, that's right.
Most people's weekends begin at 5 p.m. Friday. Yeah. We get a 12-hour head start on everybody.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it is. Now, granted, we have to go back to work at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night, but that's okay. It all works out. Oh, how about this? Pete McMurray is listening. He was the dude that was on before me.
Okay.
This is not a joke. He says, no joke. Pete McMurray, no joke. Jim McMahon signed jockstrap. I don't want to know how he got it. Pete's a weird dude anyway, but he's got a Jim McMahon signed jockstrap. I mean, is that something that, has anybody ever asked you to appraise a jockstrap?
Yes. You may not remember this because our first show was, I don't know, 9 or 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
The first show, and I still tell people this story because they ask me all the time. I see a lot of things. Michael, what's one of the more crazy things that people have asked you to appraise? Caller calls in. Michael, I have Joe Garagiola's game-used jockstrap. How much is that worth?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I looked at you, and I didn't know what to say.
Yeah. Well, what do you say? Jim McMahon signed it. I can understand. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Jim McMahon would sign one of his jockstraps. That doesn't seem surprising at all, considering Jim McMahon's personality.
I mean, I definitely don't
And I'm also not, by the way, I'm also not surprised that Pete has it. That doesn't surprise me either, that Pete McMurray has a jockstrap signed by Jim McMahon. All right, what's...
Thank God I'm not looking at it or touching it in front of me.
No. We don't have enough Purell in the building.
So, I mean, it's going to be worth a couple $100, but this is a unique item. I mean, it's basically worth whatever someone's going to pay for it, but I would say a couple $100.
All right, Pete, you can retire on it. There you go. All right, jockstrap. Oh, God. All right, let's see. Let's go back to the phones real quick. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, man. What do you got?
All right. I have a lithograph of Mark Pryor done in the style of Leroy Neiman.
What? Wow.
Yeah. It is autographed. I have a COA, but I do not know who the artist is who painted it.
Oh, and is it signed by? Is it signed by Mark Pryor?
Yes, it is, and it's number 5 out of 1,000.
So it's a lithograph that's done in that style. It's signed by. What did he say about it when he signed it? Was he like, "Where did you get this?"
I wasn't there. It was. I won it at a convention.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's an item that he won at a convention, but it's a lithograph. Well, and it's number 5 of how many, Mike?
1,000.
Of 1,000, and it's signed by Mark Pryor. What do you think? That's a unique item, too. We're getting some very unique stuff here.
Very unique.
I do have a COA with it, by the way.
So Mark Pryor obviously was, at the time, everyone thought he was going to be such a great player, a Hall of Famer. Unfortunately, all the injuries he was riddled with really affected
his
career.
Well, I'd rather not discuss it.
But I guess the answer to the question here for the caller, anything Mark Pryor is basically untouchable, whereas there's not much demand for it, unfortunately, because he bombed out.
Yeah.
In fact, I think today he's a minor league pitching coach for the Padres.
Okay.
But he made out like a bandit. He made like $60, $70 million. It was guaranteed money, and he just sucked.
Yeah. Well, he was prone to injury, man. He was like he was prone to injury. Mike, that's not going to be worth a ton, but it's a pretty cool item.
Oh yeah, I mean, right. Something to throw darts at later. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, by the way, where are you? Where are you, Mike? You sound like you're at a bar.
No, I'm at a gas station. Oh, right, you're now getting coffee and stuff for work.
All right. Well, be safe. Okay.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Mike calling from a gas station. I thought he was boozing. All right, here's Dave on WGN. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right, what's
Mike,
up?
How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, I have a signed full-size Wilson football from the whole Bears team that I won at a Monday night game. I was a season ticket holder.
Which Bears team are we talking about?
What year?
1986 Chicago Bears.
The year after.
Yeah, the year after. I think we traded half the team after that.
Is Walter Payton on there?
Well, he's got to be.
No, Walter is not on there.
Oh.
I know Dave Duerson's on there. There's, as athletes do, they kind of just scribble their names, but there are numbers by each name.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's maybe a couple $100.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's even more than you thought it was going to be worth, Dave.
Yeah, I figured probably somewhere around there.
Okay, cool, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. God, man, in 1986, you don't have Walter's signature on there. Wow.
That's the big one.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. And who was the first sports person that you met?
Walter Payton.
Yeah, that's right. What was the story there?
Yeah, back it was. In fact, on my website, if you click on photos, it was December 1993 or 94. And back then, Walter Payton owned a couple restaurants in Schaumburg. He owned Studebaker, or he was a partner in Studebaker's, Walter Payton 34s, and I think one other restaurant. And I was able to meet Walter Payton at Walter Payton 34 is just off the highway there in Schaumburg, and he could not have been nicer. Signed a couple of autographs for me, myself and my brother, and just was so engaging and so happy. Yeah. And in fact, over the years, I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Walter Payton.
I met him one time. He couldn't have been cooler. I mean, his name was Sweetness for a reason. That, you know what I mean? And man, was he talented. Was he amazing to watch? I mean, it single-handedly kept people watching the Bears for many years. Like, he was the only reason. He was bunch of, like, the Avellini years. There was a, you know,
oh,
he was
boy.
The, yeah. That was like, you know, Walter was the reason to watch the Bears, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy. Like, you know, I know he's got a great reputation, and he was considered to be a really lovely man, and that's absolutely true from everybody that I know who's ever met him, and me personally having met him.
I'm just thinking, we're talking about him. He passed away 20 years ago in 1999. His son, Jarrett, and I share the same exact birthday the same year.
Oh, is that right?
We're the same exact age.
Jarrett's a great guy, man.
Yeah.
He's a great. His daughter's great, too.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a couple of texts that are coming in. By the way, if you guys want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200. If you've got some sports memorabilia and you're wondering about it, Michael Osaki is here. Baseballintheattic.com is his website. And if you have a jock strap that you need to be appraised.
I wear gloves.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, does it surprise you that McMurray has a jock strap signed by Jim McMahon? Does that surprise you in the least?
Well, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the text in. I saw the text that said jock strap, and I was like, this guy's pulling my leg. And then Pete texted me personally. He's like, hey, by the way, that's me. It's legit. I would love to know the story behind that. I would love to know, but he's that kind of guy.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
All right. Let's see. 404 area code says 1933 Gowdy, all four Babe Ruth and two Lou Gehrig, never graded, only some slight bends and damage of the corners.
I love that set. This is why I come to your show, to hear someone like that that calls in. Okay, the 33 Gowdy set is one of the top three collecting sets in the entire universe.
So this has got to be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, there's 240 cards in the set. It's littered with Hall of Famers.
Gowdy's the company that put out the card.
Correct. And, yeah. And Gowdy was based in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yes, there's four Babe Ruth cards.
Well, then I'm sure they were thrilled about Babe Ruth.
Right, exactly. There's four Babe Ruth cards, two Lou Gehrig cards in the set. Let me tell you just a quick little story here about the 33 Gowdy set. In the fall of 33... kids everywhere got together, and they were comparing, you know, their cards. Nobody had this one specific card, Nap Lajoie, and they would ask their parents, you know, where is this card? Please help us find it.
Mm.
Long story short, it was a sales and marketing ploy. Gowdy Gum Company purposely omitted one card because they knew the kids would go back to the five and dime store in search of the one card and spend more and more money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That happened in 33.
That is really sneaky.
But back to the caller's question, please email me the photos because these cards are very valuable and it would be disingenuous to just blurt out, you know, numbers without seeing the exact condition. But congrats, that set. I love that set.
Okay. Never graded, but only slight bends and damage of corners. But take pictures.
Yeah.
Take pictures. 404 area code with your 1933 Gowdy cards. Take pictures and you can contact Michael at info@baseballintheattic.com. info@baseballintheattic.com. Get those pictures taken. He can give you a much more accurate appraisal in that regard. Martha and Evanston says, I have an official World Series baseball from the strike year in the 90s when there was no World Series.
1994 and the White Sox were supposed to go far that year.
Yeah, that was 1994, no World Series. Is it worth anything? That's an interesting thing right there, a World Series baseball in the year that there was no World Series.
So yes, that was a phantom World Series because it never happened.
Right.
But the ball in the is about $15 to $20.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the Sox were on a tear that year too.
Yep.
They were on a tear that year.
Yep.
Just I can't believe that there was no World Series one year. That there was actually no World Series.
Well, some people today actually tell me that was the day that they stopped collecting or they stopped watching baseball.
Oh yeah, no, they lost a lot. They lost a lot of fans. Lost a lot of fans after the '94 season. There's no question about it. No question about it. And then there's lots of people who think they started juicing the ball after that. No. And then the Maguire Sosa thing happened, and that brought people back after not watching baseball for a good 2-3 years. And then the baseball home run derby in 1998 brought a lot of people back. So,
yeah.
I don't know. All right. Why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back. We've got some people on the line, and we'll wrap it up here with Michael. Michael Osaki is with us, and he is at baseballintheattic.com. You can also call him if you have stuff that you want to be appraised, and you can call him after the show. It's 312-379-9090, 312-379-9090. All right. We'll be back with more after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be happening. And, yeah, so that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in here. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Michael Osaki is my guest. He is a vintage baseball card sports memorabilia expert and appraiser. Baseballintheattic.com is the website. And we've got a few more people here who have a question. Here's Paula on WGN. Go ahead, Paula.
Hey. My mother died a few years ago, and we were going through pictures, and my great-aunt saw this picture, and she said, I remember this day. He was a White Sox pitcher. He came to the neighborhood on the south side, and the steel mills had just released the soot into the air, and my dress got ruined, but all us kids were so excited. I looked him up. His name was Bob Kajawa. And I guess Nellie Fox stepped on his foot, and he ended up getting traded to the Yankees, where he ended up winning 3 World Series rings as a left-handed pitcher, with the only guy to have 3 game seven saves in baseball history. I found him on the internet, and I wrote him a letter at 92 years old. He was in the service in World War II with my uncle. And I thanked him for his service, and I told him the story, and I asked him if he would sign these pictures, which are about from 1949. And he did, and he sent them all back to me.
Wow.
And I just read that he died 2 years ago. He was from Michigan, and he was in the Polish Baseball Hall of Fame now. And, yeah, he was just visiting my uncle on the south side. It's really cool. It's like our gang pictures, you know.
That's great. That's a great story.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure what to do with all that. I have the letter, and I have the pictures, and I have my great aunt's story documented. And
Nick, that's definitely a great story, and that's actually one of the big reasons why I got started in this business. Yes, things have value, but I'm really into the history and the stories behind everything. Yes, but Bob was a southpaw. He was a lefty. He was a journeyman, but then he found some traction in the Yankees. His signature, assuming that these are type 1 photos, so a type 1 photo would be an original photo.
Yeah, they're like from about 49, I think.
Okay. Each one could be $25 to $30.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's more the history.
I mean, it's a great story. It's a really, really great story, Paula. It's fantastic.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, have a great morning.
Thanks, Paula, for sharing.
Here's Doc on WGN. Hey, Doc.
Hey there. So back in 1993, when Joe Montana was playing for the Chiefs, a local radio station got the town of Ismay, Montana, which only had 22 residents, to agree to change their name to Joe Montana. And I just have a white envelope with a stamp that's first day cancellation of the town being Joe Montana.
Well, that's definitely different.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I don't know if I've ever seen that. But off the top of my head, I would say at auction you could probably get $200 or $250.
Yeah, that's a weird story. That's a weird story, Doc.
Yeah, very, very different.
Yeah, because I don't know how long they changed the name, but they had to get all the residents to agree to it.
All 22 people had to agree.
Yeah.
Usually in things like this, the name change.
In Chiefs gear.
Yeah, it was probably just for the day as far as the name change goes. That's usually how it works.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Doc. Thanks, man. All right, take care.
Some great calls today.
I don't even understand what's going on. Again, that doesn't surprise me that our good friend Doc has that. Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Mike. Do you remember the Letterman's jackets when we were kids?
Sure.
With, like vinyl sleeves?
Sure.
I was probably about 10 years old, and I went to a signing, Bobby Hull, Fergie Jenkins, Brian Piccolo, and they signed the sleeve. And the only signature that is legible anymore is Piccolo.
Well, that's great, because that's the big one. That's the one you want. Bobby Hull signs a lot.
A lot.
In fact, he signed last weekend, and I actually bumped into him at the Embassy Suites, and unfortunately, he's not looking too good these days.
Bobby only signs at those kind of events, but he's at every Hawks game, and he signs at every Hawks game. Like, he's in the box, and people can see him, and they pass things up to him. He signs at every Hawks game. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Like dozens of signatures at every single Hawks game. Crazy. He's that accommodating. He's a great guy.
Yeah. But the Brian Piccolo is really important. I mean, a Brian Piccolo signature is on this jacket about $500.
Yeah. All right, John.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right,
I'll give you a call. I'll give you a call, Mike.
All right. There you go. Yep. So then you can check. You can also contact via email at info@baseballintheattic.com if you couldn't get through this morning and there's some stuff that you want to praise. And also, you always, you know, it's better for you to see it. So pictures always help out.
Absolutely. I'm in the business of seeing things, and pictures are always great because someone can tell me that I have this, but then I can look at it and say, oh, I see a crease, or I see paper loss, or I see something else, or this signature is not real.
Yeah. Okay. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
All right. Go ahead.
I got 45, the record. It's called Teamwork that Ernie Banks did, and I got that back in 81 when he did a signing at Jefferson Square Mall. I was working at the mall, and I asked if I could have it, and the manager gave it to me. It says, two-time Ernie Banks, and he said Ernie Banks signed it.
And by the way, we've played that song many, many times on the show when Rick Geezer has come in. When we do sports songs, we've played that song many, many times, and we'll play it again a little bit later on.
Banks was another gracious signer, loved being at the ballpark, just loved being around people. He found his happy spot when he was around people, talking to people. That signature on the item is about $150.
There you go. All right, Steve.
All right, signed on the sleeve.
Yeah, so it's about $150, Steve. We got a bad connection. All right. Before you get out of here, you did you write for Parade, and you wrote about the true origins of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Tell me a little bit about that.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Yeah, wow, over 100 years ago. So it's interesting. These two boys, I was going to say men, but they're actually boys. They were riding the subway out in New York City. And they had never actually been to a baseball game, and they started writing about being at a baseball game or being inside of a baseball game. And that's kind of how it got started back then. And in fact, one of the young boys didn't step foot into a baseball stadium until I think 30 or 32 years after he wrote the song. So quite interesting. Obviously, today it's always played at pretty much every single ballpark across the country.
Yeah. And you talked a little bit about the Grammy Museum, that they have a Take Me Out to the Ball Game exhibit.
Yeah. So I was in Los Angeles a couple months ago looking at that exhibit, and it's quite fantastic. There's so many interesting and unique things. People think about the Grammys as music, but this baseball exhibit, people donated for a couple years items that they have in their collection. There was a Frank Sinatra jacket that he would wear to every baseball game that he attended, and that was donated by his granddaughter. There's a couple of World Series rings in there, some signatures, a lot of music/baseball-related memorabilia. It's all intertwined.
And it runs through October? So if people are in L.A.?
It runs through October in L.A., and then next year it's going to be on the road traveling, and they haven't yet told people where they're going to be. But I think soon, at the end of August or September, they're going to announce the travel dates for next year.
Well, I mean, Chicago's a major city, so you would think that they would bring it here. Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. For people who couldn't get a hold of you during this visit, info@baseballintheattic.com or 312-379-9090. All right, Michael, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Nick.
And have fun on National Baseball Card Day.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break, and we will come back with the news right after this.